voting members on call this conference committee of the state elections or the state government finance and elections omnibus or a conference committee to order. Ms. Sprick, can you take the roll?
Chair Nelson?
I'm here.
Chair Kiffmeyer? Representative Nash?
Present.
Senator Carlson? Representative Greenman?
Present.
Senator Howe? Senator Curran? Senator Lang? Representative Mason?
Present.
Representative Zhang?
Present.
Chair Kiffmeyer?
She's there, I see her.
Yeah. Senator Lang?
Present.
A quorum is present.
And I see Senator Howe is now on the call too. So morning members, got a couple people that signed up that wanted to testify that didn't get a chance yesterday. And then we're going to go into the same and similars. We're going to start working through the bill, starting with the campaign finance this morning, and then we'll move on to minute if there's time. So with that, I've got two people that have signed up to testify. I see Mark Ruff is here now. Mr. Ruff, if you want to identify yourself for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Ruff. I am the city coordinator for the city of Minneapolis. And prior to this position, I was the chief financial officer for the city of Minneapolis. And so over the last 5 years, have been involved in various discussions around pensions across the state. I want to highlight just our gratitude around the opportunity to speak with you this morning and in the past with the Legislative Commission on Pensions, and also the partnership with PARA and the important work that they do for all of our cities and counties and school districts across the state. I mean, it's a very trusted relationship, and we're grateful for that. I would like to just speak in favor of maintaining the current level of aid that comes to the city of Minneapolis around MRF. As the committee is well aware, this is a discussion that periodically has come before the legislature, the most significant discussion being in 2015 and some hard work being done by the legislature and local governments on working out the roles and responsibilities and the financial responsibilities. And I know in 2019, we were part of the discussion to continue the level of aid that is very important for the city of Minneapolis. As the committee members are aware, the city of Minneapolis is encountering some significant financial challenges due to COVID-19. We had a reduction in revenue of our sales and entertainment taxes by over $40 million in 2020. Our parking fund is down significantly. And then we are very concerned about just the recovery process and the impact that has on us. The financial challenges have caused us to keep to do hiring freezes and to limit wage increases, as well as freezing some of our classes, including our appointed officials' wage increases during this period of time of financial difficulty. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll certainly just pause and just want to reiterate my support of the House version of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ruff. Any questions of the testifier? If not, the next person I have on the list is Mr. Josh Downham from Minneapolis Public Schools. Well, please welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Kiffmeyer, Confries. Josh Downham with the Minneapolis Public Schools. Good to see you all virtually. You may hear some distance learning in the background, so I apologize. We've got some kids here jumping on their classes. I wanted to follow up Mr. Ruff's comments and thank this committee and the work of the Pension Commission over the last several years to ensure the viability of MRF. And I know Madam Chair, you've done some heavy lifting over the years, as has Chair Nelson and Senator Howe. So thank you, really appreciate that. But we do oppose the shifting of the state's responsibility onto the local units of government and ultimately onto our local businesses and homeowners in terms of property tax increases. And as you know, the term of this plan is 10 years. So we're looking at a $10 million decrease over 10 years, which will result in nearly a $100 million shift onto local property taxes. And you know, the state of Minnesota closed this fund in 1978. And over the term since that, since it was closed, there's really been a shared responsibility between the state and local units of government over those years to ensure the viability of the fund. Those enrollees rely solely on MRF for their retirement. They do not qualify for Social Security. And so, you know, having that bipartisan agreement that Mr. Ruff spoke to in 2015 reflects the historic percentages that when you look back at the state and local unit percentages over the years, it's reflected in the $21 million and $16 million amounts that the state and local units pay. And so, you know, we really appreciate and urge the conference committee to not adopt the Senate position, not shift those responsibilities on the local property taxpayers. I have some other comments, but I think I'll save it for maybe a future day. And Mr. Chair, appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Downham. Any questions from members? If not, thank you for your input. Members, now we're going to start working on walking through the same and similar on the campaign finance portion of this bill. It starts with, get my numbers right here. It starts within the House article, section article one of the House article is the Hennepin County, starts with the Hennepin County stuff. And we have a document here. Ms. Rudolph, was this shared with the committee, the document? I see you're shaking your head, yes. So members, on the document that was emailed out to everybody, there was a slight typo that was in there. And I think Mr. Gehring or Ms. Stengel, one of you can jump on here and explain what that typo is, and we can just fix it orally on this document. Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, just one clarification to Ms. Rudolph. I think the document that was sent around to the listserv was the same and similar comparison for the elections policy article, and this is a separate document for campaign finance. So I just want to make sure that all the members have the campaign finance proposed agreement document.
Yes, that was together, correct?
I guess I'll ask the members, do you have this document, this proposed agreement, campaign finance article? It starts with Hennepin County. The first box under topic is Hennepin County elections.
I don't see it, but. Mr. Chair, I don't have it. I have a same and similar for elections, but I don't see, unless I missed it.
Mr. Chair, I will email this out to the committee right now then.
Thank you, Mr. Rudolph. Senator Kiffmeyer, we just want to start walking them through the bill while we're waiting for that. And
Chair Nelson, are you talking about walking through the proposed agreement or the side-by-side language? Because it's pretty complicated because the Hennepin County pages and sections are all over the whole document in front of us. In this particular case, I think the proposed agreement matches up by the way, with the previously sent out chart, which members you should have from before, because Chair Nelson and I use that predominantly. So if you have that chart, which is titled State Government Finance Omnibus 1952 Comparison of Senate House Campaign Finance Article. So if you have that article, that chart is what Chair Nelson and I use on the proposed agreement document, which is a one page and follows that same chart style.
Does everybody have that agreement, that email that was just sent out by Ms. Rudolph?
Yes, just got it.
Got it.
Senator Howell, Senator Lang, Senator Curran, Senator Carlson, do you see the document now?
Not in on mine.
I haven't received it yet.
Just got it.
The fun of technology.
Well, our expectations are extremely high of the, we've gotten used to kind of almost an immediate situation.
So Mr. Gehring, if you want to walk us through that minor, amendment we need to do to this document.
Sure. Mr. Chair, on the first row of the proposed campaign finance article agreement, the Hennepin County elections row, you'll see a reference under the section to House Section 6 only adding, quote, or a local candidate. And on the document that you received, it refers to line 121.15. And that line references it is incorrect and it should be line 121.25. And so if you're looking at the side-by-side revisor document, that's on page R3 of the side-by-side. So you're looking at the House language on line 121.25, and that would be incorporated into this document.
Give a second for everyone to try and find that. Members, did you catch what that is?
I still don't have the document.
This would be in the side-by-side on campaign finance.
Thank you, Ms. Sprick. Senator Lang, do you have the document they were talking about?
Yeah, it hasn't arrived in my in-basket yet either, though I have a paper copy, Mr. Chair, so I can use that.
Senator Curran, do you have the document on your computer?
Just received it.
I didn't hear you, Senator Curran. Just thumbs up if you got the document. Okay. House members, Representative Nash.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, Zong, Representative Zhang and Representative Greenman have it. And Senator Howell, you said you have it now?
Did you get it in yours?
Yeah.
I don't know. Senator Carlson, I think you said you had it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have it.
Okay, So everyone sees what
Mr. Chair, I think there's an issue here with me in particular. I think my email address, we might need to check on that. There's sometimes an auto population that doesn't quite work. So I, Alexi Stengel, Ms. Stengel sent it to me. So I'm good.
Okay. So we all have the document. Like I said, these are the same and similars that we talked about. The Hennepin County election stuff was in the House version only, but it's Senator Kiffmeyer agreed that we should put this in the bill. Now, I understand we have to move the bill first before we can make the changes. I guess, Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, what I would suggest is that you make a motion to incorporate all the items that are listed here into the campaign finance article of the conference report. You don't need to move the bill. You just need to move to adopt these items in the conference report.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. So Representative Mason, you got your hand up.
I do. I was going to say, could he repeat the instructions he gave originally? Because most of us didn't have the papers when he was talking.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
The line reference, I think, Mr. Chair, the 121.25. Yep. Yeah.
Mr. Gehring, if you want to repeat that then, so everyone can see what we're talking about.
Mr. Chair, on the Hennepin County elections row, the first row of that table, there's a reference to House line 121.15. That should be corrected to House line 121.25.
And if anyone doesn't have that, please speak up. This is a lot easier when we're in person. Senator Kiffmeyer, if we were all in the same room, it'd be a lot easier.
For sure.
Seeing no one speak up. So we'll walk through this document, this agreement document. Again, the first box there is the Hennepin County elections. And you can see that in the RX, as it tells you the pages that it's on, and the sections, the House sections that we're talking and dealing with here. And this is basically what it is that, as you can read in the summary, transfers the oversight of certain campaign reporting requirements for candidates and committees associated with ballot, with elected offices and ballot questions for Hennepin County and any city wholly located within there. Anybody have any questions about that piece of it? I see no hands jumping up. I don't want to rush people through this. We go down to the second box that's on R3 of the side-by-sides. It's a Senate-only section, this is a House and Senate had different, slightly different versions of it. We are agreeing to take the Senate language of that. And the basic difference between the House language and the Senate language has to do with the dollar amount that, where the House had $2,000 cap, the Senate had a $3,000 cap. The other difference is that it, and this goes from R3 in the side-by-side all the way to R5 on the side-by-side. When you get to R5, that's where the difference is. Well, ours is a $3,000 cap in the Senate version as opposed to a $2,000 cap. And the Senate version only limits this to the candidate's house for the security camera and security issues, not the other people that were added in by the House amendment on the floor. And then also on that page, you'll see there's an effective date that's in there that wasn't in the House language. And we're going to be taking the Senate language on this. Anybody have any questions on that?
Mr. Chair, I just want to note that in the actual language itself, this also includes in the Senate language, the identity theft monitoring and credit monitoring.
Correct. That language is also, you're right, that was also in the House language. Mm-hmm. But yes, that also right. includes that. Thank you, Senator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there are no questions in that section, other questions, the next section starts on page R6, and this same language between the House and the Senate. And so we're gonna go with the House language for that. That's House Section 13. The Senate Section 2, but it's House Section 13, we're gonna use the House language. And that's just adding the Chancellor and members of the Board of Trustees to the list of people that have to file economic interest statements. Any questions on that, members? The next starts on page R12, and it's Senate-only language, and that language has to do with campaign being able to have different, to a page here, so I can have an alternate address or alternate contact information for people, officials on the campaign that would be non-public. This would be like for a treasurer or something like that. And this is so that the campaign finance board can get a hold of these people, but our volunteers and our committees, that they may not want to have their addresses public information. Any questions on that, members? And we're taking the Senate language on that.
Mr. Chair, I'll just add to it.
Go ahead, Ms. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, the public information, required information, does not change. That is the same. This is an alternate optional, but the language for the current public contact information stays the same.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. Representative Greenman, you have a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume that the language looks good. I assume that the Campaign Finance Board doesn't have any problem implementing or administering it, that they didn't raise anything.
Mr. Chair, I can take that.
Senator Kiffmeyer. Jen, yes. Mr. Sigurdson's on the call also, so if he can answer too, but Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes, Mr. Sigurdson can comment to that directly for you. But yes, had the conversation with Mr. Sigurdson. We wouldn't have this language without him to make sure that it complies, but he's here and can address it as well.
Mr. Sigurdson, identify yourself and then answer the question.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. My name is Jeff Sigurdson. I'm the Executive Director of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. And good morning, Senator Kiffmeyer and members of the committee. Yes, I did have discussions with this provision with Senator Kiffmeyer. It basically would require us to have an alternate database for this limited information to make sure that it wasn't available as or treated as public information. But that's a relatively minor change. It wouldn't cause us much of an issue.
Thank you, Mr. Sigurdson. Any further questions?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. And Jeff, thank you.
And then the next, I think this is the last thing on this list, is the miscellaneous changes and requirements. And on our page R16, 17, 18, and 22 of the side-by-side, and their House sections 27 through 29, House sections 30, House sections 35, which is a repealer, and subdivision one of that. And up in the box, first box we went to look at the repealer, there's the subdivision one is, other than a little nuance with the title that's in there on the House side, they're identical to the House and the Senate. Subdivision two deals with the Hennepin County stuff, and that's up, if you'll notice, that's up in the first box. So we're basically taking the whole repealer that's there on page R22. So members, any questions about those sections? Or again, it's the House sections 27 to 29, House section 30, 35, and then 35 sub the subdivision, which is the repealer. Seeing no questions, thumbs up from Senator Carlson. And then the last thing, which is kind of on page 23 of the R23 of the side by side, there's an effective date that's out there hanging on its own. That was supposed to be up with the Hennepin County stuff, but the Hennepin County stuff was all scattered through, but that's going to be in with the Hennepin County stuff.
And Mr. Chair?
Chair Kiffmeyer.
Also the effective date, you and I talked about that because of the House, Senate, and the way it was laid out in the House. So the effective date in the section for non-campaign disbursement for security expenses, R3, Section 1 in the Senate agreement, that effective date is for the cycle starting January 1 of this year, but it's for that whole cycle.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Yeah, and then we're taking that section, we're taking the Senate language, which included that effective date. Mm-hmm. So members, Senator Kiffmeyer, you want to make the motion then to include these articles sure. in the bill?
Yeah, I'll be glad to do that, Mr. Chair. So I'll move the proposed agreement campaign finance article under the 2021 State Government Finance Omnibus House File 1952.
Any questions on the amendment? If not, I believe we probably want to take a roll call on this. Ms. Spreck, if you want to take the roll.
One moment. Gotta get my sheet up. Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Chair Kiffmeyer?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Senator Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Senator Howe?
Aye.
Senator Curran?
I need a verbal on that. Senator Curran, I can't hear you. We're still not hearing. He's got his thumbs up on the screen, but we can't hear him. I don't know what.
Senator Lang?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Zhang?
Aye.
With a vote of 10 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails.
Senator Curran, you've got your earphone in there. It looks like see, they put that on.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. Two conference calls going on at once.
Someday maybe we'll have a movie. Can you hear me now?
I think Verizon did a commercial, though. Had a commercial of that.
Yes, wasn't it?
Anyway, members, So as this agreement was corrected, the motion passes. These sections will be included in the omnibus bill, the committee report from the conference committee. members, thank you for that. Next thing we're going to start looking at is and we don't have an agreement ahead of time. Is the minute section. If you want to get to your side-by-side on the minute section. Get my book here ready.
Mr. Chair, I think this is one of those where the chart is helpful, but I think the differences, they're similar, but I think staff might do a good job of walking it through under the actual language instead of the chart in this case. There's some differences, members, that are as small as a comma, seriously. Our staff are very attentive to these details, and we really appreciate that.
That sounds reasonable to me. And this here for my own benefit, just pull this out of my binder. Mr. Gehring, Ms. Stengel, you wanna, or Ms. James, whoever's, looks like Ms. James is on.
Yeah, Ms. James.
Walk us through this and walk us through the summary document as well as the differences we have in the bill, side by sides. So who's gonna go first?
Mr. Chair, I think.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
I think Ms. James looks like she's ready to go, but they both are. And it gets to be long if they want to alternate along the way by page or whatever, feel free.
So Ms. James, we'll start with you.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members, on page R1 of the side-by-side, and I'm gonna be working from the actual side-by-side. The document you have should be highlighted to illustrate the differences between the two. So that should help you zero in on the differences. The difference on page R1 at the top or near the top is that the Senate says 4 senators are members of the Cybersecurity Commission, whereas the House has 4 members of the Senate. It's a meaningless difference, but you have the option to pick one. We would say that typically I would write it the way the Senate has written it for these sorts of commissions, but.
So, Mr. Chair, that is what I would prefer, that on a senator's line language that we take the Senate style. So on 26.4, taking that parenthetical one, using that senator's language and not taking the House 143.11.
Mr. Gehring, is there, to me, it looks like just a different way of saying the same thing.
Mr. Chair, yes, I think that's fine.
So members, on a voice, we can do this on a voice vote. I'll move that we take the Senate language on that line, 26.4. It would be 143.11 in the Senate House language, but we'll take the Senate language on 26.4. All members agree, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. So we'll take the Senate language on that. Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, the next difference is on the House line 143.16, Senate line 26.9. The House has used the word on and the Senate used the word upon. I like the House version here. Again, a meaningless distinction.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, I think in this case, I'd probably recommend the House wording.
So members, I'll move the House language on line 143.16, Senate hotline 26.9. I'll move the House language on that, having on as opposed to upon. All members, again, all in favor, I'll take a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. James, this next section where that's highlighted is, and I think that's where you're going to get to next, is the 26.19 in the Senate language. Question I had when I read that is which body ranking member would be the one that's the chair? It's kind of It doesn't say who, and I guess that's the question I have on that line, Ms. James.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, as you'll see in the next sentence, it says that the officers alternate between a member of the Senate and the member of the House. So the sentence about what to do if you can't elect the chair isn't altered by that. So in other words, you're going to be picking from whichever party gets to be the chair by virtue of that alternation.
Mr. Chair?
Chair Kiffmeyer.
Thank you. Ms. James, I think the issue is it's the first meeting, so you're beginning the switching. One of the thoughts, Senator Chair Nelson and I talked about this already, and so I knew a little bit about it. And the one thing is that the LCC also does alternate between the House and the Senate. I think it could be that whoever is the chair of the LCC would make the appointment for the first meeting. And I think that's been used in other times as well as kind of a way of getting them off the dime.
Ms. James.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer and members, the chair is selected from the Senate as a result of the section 102, which is on page R12, the first one. If you look at page R12 on the Senate side, line 76.28, the commission must select a chair from among the Senate members at the first meeting. So that's how it starts there.
So, Mr. Chair, I think that recognizing the Senate language there, but we're in conference committee right now. I'm just wondering, to be fair to both sides, we can do that, but it seems like the idea that I have about the chair of the LCC appointing, and then after that, then there would be the alternating situation. I'm a little concerned if we just say the Senate gets to pick the first one, that's Senate-only language, but I'm willing to compromise to whoever's chair of the LCC making that appointment for the first chair.
Ms. James, do you want to give that line number where you said that the Senate has the first term?
Yes.
On R12.
Yep, Mr. Chair and members, on R12 on the Senate side, on line 76.28 onto 76.29, it says the commission must select a chair from among the Senate members at the first meeting.
Mr.
Senator Howard, I'm looking at the House language. House language has that same line.
All right, that's all.
That's true.
Oh, well, if the House and Senate are the same, well, then it's really not an issue. I thought it was only in the Senate language, but it's in both.
Yes, Senator Kiffmeyer, yeah. Ms. James, that answers my question. When I read that, I didn't, I was reading through it, page line, and I wasn't reading as a whole of the text. And that explains, that's why the question had who's ranking member came to my mind. So I think that deals with it. So, There are other differences in that section.
And then Mr. Chair and members, the only other difference is that the Senate used the word expiration instead of sunsets, kind of near the bottom of page R1, House line 144.7 and Senate line 26.32.
Mr. Gehring, would there be a difference in that? Between the expire or sunset?
Mr. Chair, I think I would recommend the Senate language there. The word expiration is just a little bit more modern.
Okay, members. Let's first go back to the subdivision 4 that we were talking about. Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want to make a motion on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that subdivision 4 Senate language line 26.18 be adopted.
Members, any further discussion on that part? If not, take a voice vote on that again. All in favor of using the Senate language for subdivision 4, which in the Senate language is align 26.18 to 26.23. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. What Senate language is going to be adopted? On the, again, on 26.23 of the Senate language, the expiration expires as opposed to sunset. I'll move we take the Senate language of that.
26.32?
26.32, correct.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I don't know if you know you're off camera. I don't know if you intended that or not.
No, I did not. I must have bumped that by mistake.
Okay.
Back on and there we go.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer, for pointing that out. Mm-hmm.
Was that a motion, Mr. Chair?
It was a motion to accept the Senate language on line 26.32. 32, yes, 0.32. And I did flip the numbers around. So I'll restate it. I moved that the Senate file 26.32. We are going to accept the Senate language on that as opposed to the House language. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And to the question that was texted me by Representative Nash, we're still on the Commission on Cybersecurity. That section goes.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to say that if you have questions regarding the intent of that from the Blue Ribbon Commission, both Senator Curran and I are serving on that. If you had questions, we could answer them as to intent. But so far, nothing appreciable is outside the bounds of what we had talked about in the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Thank you, Representative Nash. The only question I had was when I read that lane, the subdivision 4, it didn't track with me because I hadn't gotten to the last section that Ms. James pointed out to me. That was the only question I had in mind. It just didn't compute in my mind. So members, we've got page R1. Ms. James,
my one concern is that we adopted specific lines and specific subdivisions. But it might be good, I'll take advice from Ms. James or Mr. Gehring, so that we don't leave anything out, that we might adopt have something that makes sure that the ones where like duties, subdivision 3 duties was have no change. Subdivision 1 is identical. Subdivision 5 was identical. So maybe Mr. Gehring or Ms. James could give us those that were identical so we can adopt those as well.
Ms. James, Madam Chair, do we want to, Chair Kiffmeyer, do we want to then go have them write this up and maybe adopt the whole thing at one time like we did for the earlier section today, or do we want to do it page by page?
Well, I think at this time we're doing quite well. I think all we need to do is adopt the identical subdivisions, which I think Ms. James has a list already, and Mr. Gehring can confirm that.
Ms. James, which is easiest for you guys.
Mr. Chair and members, I think a motion to adopt Section 11, given the choices that you've just made on the differences, will accomplish what we need to for this, to adopt the whole section with the choices that you
just amended.
We didn't really amend it, but you made choices from the sides, and I think your motion, as long as it mentions to include those choices that you've just made, will work just fine.
So moving Section 11 with the choices, in this case, that's the language, to adopt Section 11 with our specified choices. Okay, I would move that, Mr. Chair, if you're ready.
I'm ready. The motion has been made to adopt Section 11 with the choices that were made earlier. Members, all those in favor, do we, Mr. Guerin, should we do this as a voice vote, or can we do it, or do we need to do a roll call?
Mr. Chair, I think that's your call, what you're comfortable with.
Okay, we'll do a voice vote. We'll just do a voice vote, and that'll make it easier. If we find out later, if we're told corrected from somebody, we have to, we can always go back and do a voice vote for both these. So members, I, on the motion to adopt Section 11 as the, with the language choices that we've picked, I'll say aye. In favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, members. Done with one page. Ms. James or Mr. Guerin, who wants to do the next sections here? Describe them. It looked to be the same. Section 2, Senate Section 29, House Section 3, Senate Section 46. But Ms. James and Mr. Guerin on this page.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, that's right. They're correct here for a couple of sections. So you could adopt either side on page R2, Section 2 and Section 3. You could pick either side.
Mr. Chair and Ms. James, there is a difference that Section 3 on page R2 runs several pages, and there is one very tiny difference on page R4 in that section.
So members, let's do it this way. We'll do it one section. We'll do it a section at a time. Section 2 and Section 29, Section 2 in the House and Section 29 in the Senate are the same. Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want to move those sections?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'll move Section 2 of the House.
Members, the motion is to accept Section 2 of the House of the same language. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That section adopted. Section 3, Mr. Guerin, you want to, again, that runs R2, R3, R4. And it runs down into R5. So members, Mr. Guerin, you want to point out where the difference is?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. So the section is almost entirely identical between the House and the Senate, except for on page R4, on the House side, line 146.26, you'll see that the House picked up in addition to the word "and" in the list in clause 8. And so because of that, I would suggest, I believe Ms. James agrees, to take the House Section 3 here.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Section 3.
Members, the motion's on the floor to take House Section 3. Any questions on that? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 3. Then we're down here on page R5, Section 4. And that runs through into the next page, R6.
So, Mr. Chair.
I see there's a difference here on Senate line 50.7, 50.6. Ms. James, Mr. Guerin, what's the difference there?
Mr. Chair and members, we would recommend the House side. I think we don't want the word Minnesota in the title of the department. We would also suggest on the House side 148.30 to delete the word Minnesota there as well.
So members, let's start with Senator Kiffmeyer, you want to make the motion to delete on line 148.3 of the House language, delete Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Members, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. With that, members, or Ms. James, is that with that correction, is that the rest of it okay?
Mr. Chair, yes.
And Mr. And Representative Nash or Representative Mr. Coran, that we're on the, is that the intent of the Blue Ribbon Council?
Mr. Chair, I believe that that does cover everything.
Mr. Chair, I'd agree.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Coran. Thank you, Representative Nash. Okay, with that, members, I'll move that we adopt House Section 4 as amended.
With the choice. I think they're saying we need to say with the choice, yes.
Yeah, with the choice of removing the language, Minnesota.
In this case, Mr. Chair, with the amendment. Yeah, you've amended it.
Thank you.
All right.
I was right once. Anyway, so members, again, I'll restate the motion. We're moved to adopt House Section 4 as amended, with the removal of the Minnesota from line 148.3. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4 has been adopted. The next section we have is Section 5, Mr. Gehring. And that starts on R6 and runs through middle of R5 here.
R7,
you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at. Anyway, R7, Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, House Section 5 and Senate Section 48 are identical.
Ms. James, Mr. Gehring, which is it easier to do the House language or the Senate language for you guys? Ms. James.
Mr. Chair, yes, it generally is easier to stay on one side when we are on a side. So we would take the House side. I would recommend an amendment, though, on line 149.18 to delete the word Minnesota.
So members, I will move that we to delete the word Minnesota on line 149.18 of the House language. Everybody understand that, what we're doing? Any questions? If not, all in favor of deleting Minnesota on line 149.18 of Section 5, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Got that. That's been the motion passes.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move to adopt as amended Section 5.
Chair Kiffmeyer moves the House on adoption of House Section 5. Starting on line 149.17, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes. Next section is Section 6.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Section 6, Section 7. Section 8 and Section 9, it is my understanding that there are no differences, that they are identical. And if Mr. Gehring and Ms. James would confirm that, I would make the motion to adopt the House those four sections.
Mr. Gehring, Ms. James, do you concur that they're identical?
Sure, yes, that's my understanding too.
So, Mr. Chair, in that case, then, I think I saw Ms. James nodding and agreeing with that. Yeah. So then, Mr. Chair, I would move Section 5, Section 6, Section 7, Section 8, and Section 9 on the House.
Chair Kiffmeyer moves House Sections 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 of the House language to be included in the conference committee report. Give everybody a second to just verify that that's what they have. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Those sections 5 through 9 are included in the conference committee report. Next, we have section 10, which I see some differences. Similar, Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, a few little differences, none of which are substantive. The Senate has included the definite article of the before state information. State Chief Information Officer, and the House omitted it. I really don't think it matters. On line 152.9 on the House side and 53.6 on the Senate side. And then on lines, on the list of membership there that starts on line 152.19 on the House side and starts on line 53.16 of the Senate side. The Senate has just inserted, some additional detail for clarity there to be clear about which body we're talking about and to conform with typical drafting practice that we use in the Senate for membership. It's a choice for the body here.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Ms. James described it well. I think from a staff drafting perspective, I'd probably recommend the Senate language, but it's up to you.
Mr. Chair, there is one other difference, which is that the House hyphenated ex officio on line 152.17 and the Senate did not. And honestly, I'm not sure which is the proper drafting protocol. I don't know if Mr. Gehring knows.
Can you repeat that line?
On line 152.17 on the House side and 53.14 on the Senate side. I think you can give us an instruction to check with the reviser about which is correct there, and we'll take whichever that is for that.
That sounds reasonable. I'll move the Senate language for section 53, House section 10. Senate will take the language in Senate section 53 with the instruction of staff to check with the reviser on the line 53.14 ex officio, which is the proper way to do that, whether it's hyphenated or not. So members, Senator Kiffmeyer, does that sound reasonable to you?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chair. I support that.
So members, all in favor of that, again, adopting Senate section 53 of the Senate language with the instruction for the staff to clarify which is the proper way to do the ex officio. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? To have it.
So Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
There are, I think, three articles, maybe more, that are identical. I think three for sure. confirm again with Ms. James and Mr. Gehring. Section 11 and 54, House Senate. Section 12 and 55, House Senate. Section 13 and 56, House Senate. Section 14 and 57, House Senate. And section, I think there's a stylistic change in the 15 and 58. So I will stop at section 14, section 57, House Senate. Those are all identical. And in accordance with staff, they generally say if we're on, like in this case, we're on a, we've just taken section 53 Senate language, then section 54 Senate, 55 Senate, 56 Senate, and 57 Senate. And I would move that.
Senator Kiffmeyer, Ms. James,
Mr. Chair, Senator Howell.
Senator Howell.
Taking that what the staff has recommended before, there's a number of places in there where it talks about the Minnesota Department of Information Technology. And I think we've made the consistent change to take up Minnesota. So there's a couple of lines where it talks about the Minnesota Department of. So I think that we could probably just give them instructions to take out the Minnesota where it depicts that.
Mr. James, Ms. James, Mr. Gehring, is that, can we have you add that as an instruction? You'll probably do it at the end too to make sure.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there's a few more that will come later in this article too. So if you just give us the instruction at the end, we can make sure it's all cleaned up and consistent.
Okay. Thanks for pointing that out, Senator Howell. So Senator Kiffmeyer, it's moves Senate section or Senate section 54, 55, 56, and 57 to include those in the omnibus or the conference committee report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Was that an opposed?
Oh, that was an aye. Approved.
Okay, thank you. I just it came in.
A little late, that's all.
that's why I just wanted to make sure it went for record keeping. So mm-hmm. Unanimous for adopting those sections. The motion prevails. Next section 15. There's slight difference here. And Ms. James. Mr. Gehring, can you explain what that difference is? It looks like a reference.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, you want the House side here. The Senate's addition of that section identification isn't necessary here because we're in that section.
So, Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want to move the House language for House language section 15 included?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves House Section 15, which be included in the conference committee report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. So next is section 16. Mr. Gehring, it says here, I've got it written down, that's the same. Are we?
Mr. Chair, yep, that's correct. So House section 16 and Senate section 60 on page R12 are identical.
So Mr. Chair, I'll move section 16 House.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves House to include House section 16. In the conference committee report, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The motion prevails. Next, we have section 17, and there's differences here. So, Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, the difference is that the Senate has added this sentence to deal with the term of the very first members who won't have quite the full term because they'll be appointed for less than a full term just due to the start date of the commission. So that's the purpose of the Senate sentence there that's not in the House side.
Mr. Gary.
Mr. Chair, yeah, so I guess I would recommend the Senate language there just for clarity on the way the terms are structured.
Okay, I'll move that for section 17, we House section 17 and Senate section 102 that we take the Senate language, which is Senate section 102. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The next is section 18.
So, Mr. Chair.
And there's differences here. Mr. Who's talking?
It was me, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, there are differences, but it also is an opportunity. I'm noting here the revisor instruction includes changing the Office of Minute Services to Minnesota Department of Information Technology Services, wherever it appears. So here's the place if we want to give directions to the revisor, in addition to some language change Mr. Guerin can talk about. But maybe either he or Ms. James can also, when they talk about that, talk about the Minnesota issue.
So, Mr. Gehring, how do we want to, or Ms. and Ms. James, I guess both of you, how do we want to deal with this? And which is the current language, which is preferred? And then how do we want to deal with the instructions there about going through the and removing Minnesota where we need to?
Mr. Chair, I think one of the reasons why the structure is a little bit different in these two sections is that the Senate has a number of other revisor instructions within their article. So that's why you see this subdivision one reference on the Senate side. As far as the substance goes, the House language directs the revisor to change the term Office of Minute Services or similar terms. And I'm not certain how many other similar terms there are in this chapter or in Minnesota statutes that are like this, but to be safe, I'd probably be inclined to take that House language just to be sure we've captured all of them. And then as far as the Minnesota reference, you could delete on, if you're gonna accept the House section 18, you could delete on line 156.15 the word Minnesota there to make sure that the revised instruction is clear.
Ms. James, do you agree?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, I concur with Mr. Gehring. We should take the House side here to capture the similar terms and then to make that amendment on line 156.15.
Okay, Mr. Chair, with that, I would, do we want to proceed? Do we amend first or
would you Chair Kiffmeyer, I think a motion to delete Minnesota on line 156.15 would be the appropriate. Then we can deal with the other piece of it. So,
okay, Mr. Chair, I move striking on line 156.15, striking the word Minnesota.
Members. Do we understand what the motion is? The motion is to delete Minnesota on line 156.15. Representative Nash, Senator Curran, is that within the spirit of the Blue Ribbon Council?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Concur.
Okay, with that, members, all in favor of deleting Minnesota on line House version line 156.15, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Mr. Gehring, Ms. James, do we need to add any language to this about going back and removing the Minnesota? Is this where you want to put that instruction throughout the rest of it? Do we have language for that, that oral language we could put in?
Mr. Chair, I think what I'd recommend is just adopting House Section 18 as it's written there. And then once you've completed that, then you can make a motion that's just a general instruction to Ms. James and I to make the other necessary corrections in this article. It's not written, it's just sort of an oral.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. And I see Ms. James is shaking her head, so she agrees. So members, I'll move that we adopt Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'll move that we adopt Section 18 on the House as amended. And Senator, that we give instructions. Do you want to do the instructions with this motion?
Let's do the instructions separately.
Okay.
I think that's what I heard from Mr. Gary.
Okay, so, moving that we adopt Section 18 of the House as amended.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves that we adopt House Section 18 as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, the motion prevails. Senator Kiffmeyer, you want to give the oral and the motion for the oral and oral?
Well, I would like Mr. Gehring to state what the motion should be for us.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer, so the motion would be to direct staff to eliminate the word Minnesota in front of Department of Information Technology Services, wherever it appears in this article.
Mr. Chair, that is my motion. Ms. James, do you concur? All right.
Mr. Chair, members, yes. Yeah.
She's shaking her head, yes. So members, we all understand the motion. Senator Kiffmeyer moves that instruct the staff to remove Minnesota throughout this section where in front of—
In this article.
In this article, yes, in front of the Department of Information Technology Services. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it, the motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, I think the last one is the repealer. There is a slight difference. If staff want to explain, I don't know if it's meaningful or not. Ms. James, we have something different. If you could explain that for us.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer and members, the only difference is because the Senate had this whole batch of minute provisions in another article. So we had other repealers in the repealer section. So we've just got a paragraph B there that you don't need if you're doing this as a separate article. So I would recommend taking the House side for the repealer.
Mr. Chair, with that, I would move the House Section 19 repealer.
Members, Senator Kiffmeyer moves the House Section 19, the repealer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The motion prevails. So members, that's the minute section of this. Senator Kiffmeyer, we had talked about possibly going on to the local government, but I think you texted me this morning. You're not comfortable with that right this second?
No, Mr. Chair, the staff person that I need to walk through with this, they've been working on pensions and other things, so I just need a little bit more time to do that. I don't think it'll take necessarily long, but we do have till 12 o'clock. I might consider something that if we could just recess maybe till 11 o'clock, then I could have some time to see if I can get with staff. Local gov is separate from state gov here, so I don't, it just came in through this article because local government is what's left here sections 1 through 6 were already moved in a separate bill on its way to the governor. The other sections were not heard in the Senate, or maybe were heard, I'm not sure. But those are items that I don't think should take too long for me. They are available now, but if I can just review that with them, if we could recess and come back, then I think we could do local gov yet today.
That members, I'll move a recess to the call of the chair, approximately 11 o'clock, and we can proceed from there. Any objections, any questions? If not, members, we are in recess till 11 o'clock. But there's some issues with that Senator Kiffmeyer and Senate senators want to discuss. So members, unless we have any questions or concerns about what we've done.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just thought it would be good. We are completing the Minnesota the article on particularly mainly on cybersecurity, but also Blue Ribbon Commission and all that. I just thought it'd be good to give a chance to Representative Nash and Senator Curran. They've been so involved with this, to just say a few words about this.
That's where I was going to go next here.
Okay.
But thank you. That's good. So Senator Curran, want to say a few words on the Blue Ribbon Council and the IT.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll start with the Blue Ribbon Council and even the cyber work as a result of the Blue Ribbon Council. And I think it's great to finally move forward and formalize and bring in that structure into the what is now the advisory board within Minute. I think when we looked at serving on that board, you could look back historically. We've done this right many, many times, but it also traditionally just moves into a report and then kind of dies in the implementation. So adding this group into an ongoing basis, I think, is going to add a lot of value. I'm a big fan of bringing in the external, kind of that private-public partnership. This committee did a great job, and I think it also matters who runs that, and you need to replicate the work that Rick King did in chairing that board and really running a great process. And now it's up to our role in serving in that is that we need to make sure that the recommendations are implemented, and we continue to get that continued oversight on what's going on in technology. And so I think it was really good. And so that will be our role. I think one of those outcomes were when we look at taking care of everything else we do from a technology perspective, implementation, how do we build, and what are the standards that we implement. I think cybersecurity was also a reason to increase and add the oversight there. It's probably the number one activity that we need to make sure we invest in and give it not only the policy significance or the priority, but how do we make sure that we are funding it as well and that it's getting the exposure that we need, because it is one of our single greatest threats that we have, and it's growing and going to continue to get more complicated as we move forward. So with that, we appreciate everybody's support. So I don't know if Mr. Nash is on, Representative Nash, but that's all I had. I appreciate everybody's support. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I'd be on video, but bandwidth out here in Carver County is pretty low. I'll just say thank you to each of you for working so diligently to get this into the conference report. This is very important, and in a way, I'm very happy that we're doing this. In a way, I'm sad because now I don't have anything else to talk to you guys about as we wander through the halls, because I always like to talk about cybersecurity. But this is really a good step to make sure that not only people from Minnesota IT will be telling us about cyber concerns, but we'll have our own colleagues in this as well. And as the senator said, we'll have members of the private sector who will add their voice to this, as we have in the Blue Ribbon Commission. It's been exceptionally valuable, and I think that Minnesota benefits when we have this much attention being put on something that can be a little mysterious, but also people recognize the dangers that go along with this if we don't take it seriously. So I think this is a really good step in the right direction. I think that the changes that are being made to what has been known as MINUTE for the longest time will be beneficial. And I think that as we move forward with this, you're going to see MINUTE evolve into a much more mature organization that is working on, one, delivering a higher level of service, but also one that has a better relationship with the legislature. You know, it's been sketchy over the years, but I think what we're going to see now is very valuable, and I just appreciate your support on this. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. And members, I've gotten a text from that, and we'll can check into that, about the removing of Minnesota, that it might add cost. But we'll check into that. If we need to do a tweak, fix it, we can do that before we do the final report. But I'll check with staff and I'll check with around. But my understanding is none of the other departments have Minnesota in statute before them. It's not Minnesota Department of Transportation in statute, it's Department of Transportation. But if I'm wrong there and we have to add that back in, we can do that at a later date before we do our final report. And I see Senator Kiffmeyer shaking her head. Mm-hmm. You agree with that statement?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do, Mr. Chair.
So we will check into that before we go forward. So members, anything else that we need to do before, or any other statements that anybody needs to make before we adjourn for the day?
I have an announcement, Mr. Chair, when you're ready.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Okay. So members, we have a Senate session starting tomorrow at 10. I'm also chair of the Topic Selection Committee for the Legislative Audit Commission. We have a meeting tomorrow. And so Chair Nelson and I and others, we're continuing to do our work, but I don't think it would be, we will not have a conference committee meeting then tomorrow morning.
So members, take note of that. You've got tomorrow morning off. I will then be on Friday. We will be we'll be having a meeting Friday morning. And hopefully we'll have more to work on by then. And maybe we'll have our targets and we can start digging into the numbers.
And Mr. Chair, also, I would anticipate members for Saturday having a conference committee hearing on Saturday. Anticipate that and put a hold on that time for that as well.
So members, any questions? If not, no meeting tomorrow. Members, have a good day. We are adjourned.